But I'm glad it doesn't matter where you came from, who you are, what your racial creed is. Doesn't matter what church name you have. I'm glad that God's here for every individual that's in this house. I don't believe that God showed up just with an agenda for one person. But if you came here tonight and you need God, and you're the one person that will respond to His presence, I believe that He'll come just for you. And I'm excited about what God's doing in the youth. And it's a privilege to get asked to preach this camp. I have never been on these grounds before, and it's a privilege to be invited. And we're just so overwhelmed to get to be here. This is our fourth youth camp to do this summer already. And I've enjoyed the presence of God, and we've enjoyed everyone thus far, and seen God do some wonderful things. But I don't believe that anything's going to be any different here this week. I believe that God is looking forward to meeting us if we'll come with the kind of attitude, the kind of desire that says, Lord, I'm here for business. And I want to say this. I know that we're living in a time that no doubt it's probably been described already that it's probably one of the worst eras that's ever been. As far as perversion and immorality and racial tension, all these things are seemingly resurfacing in a greater way. And as bad as all that is, I think that a lot of times the young people of our day and my generation has got a bad rap. And we look around and seemingly nobody wants it anymore. Well, for those that feel that way, look around this room. And I want to say this personally. I believe in you. You say, you don't know me. I believe in this generation. I believe that God's the same as He's always been. But I also believe that passed down through generations of praise and worship and prayer that somebody showed up this week, and you don't care who's pretty across the aisle, you've come to get in the services. Doesn't matter who's here that is attractive to you. There's something that's even greater that you're pursuing. And if you don't go home with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, somebody can go home saying, I got full of the Holy Ghost. I got what I needed from God. I've got more of Jesus Christ. That's what we're praying and hoping for this week. Amen. Looking for God to meet us. I want to take a moment just to kind of get acclimated to where I am. I'm going to ask my wife to come. If the musicians would come back, I may play the piano. But if those that would come back and help us, we're just going to kind of get introduced a little bit. And it's youth camp, right? So we're not in a hurry. Right? We came to have church. I mean, no, there's a difference. If you came to worship, raise your hands. I see you've committed to something. I don't even know if you know what you committed to. You see, praise is different than worship. Well, they're getting ready. I'm going to just testify. Is that all right? Praise is different than worship. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Then elbow the person next to you. Say, are you breathing? Qualified then. You ought to praise God. You see, it doesn't matter if you're saved or not, preacher. I don't go down to the altar. I ain't saved. I ain't claiming nothing. The Bible still says you ought to praise the Lord. It didn't say those that were breathing and saved. It said those that have breath. But let me tell you something. There's a difference in praise and worship. I believe to worship God, number one, you got to be born again. The Bible says that He is seeking such to worship Him because God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to just go ahead and demonstrate this real quick, because there's a lot of us that we don't want to be identified with charismatics. And so all we want to do is praise God and worship God in truth, and we ain't going to have nothing to do with that spirit. We ain't going to get fanatical and run the aisles, and we ain't going to jump over pews, and we ain't going to roll in the floor. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says if they worship Him, they've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth, not one or the other. If you're just worshiping Him in truth, then that's not worship at all. You got to worship Him in truth and in spirit. Can I declare this to us tonight? Also, that if you're going to worship God, you got to worship Him in spirit and in truth.
You can't just have emotion. You can't just have a feeling. You can't just have a tickle feeling running up and down your spine. You have got to have the truth. Why is the truth necessary in worship? Because the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can't worship God if you're still bound. You gotta know that if I'm worshiping God, it's because I have been given liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Is anybody still ready? I want to worship God in spirit. I want to worship Him in truth. The Bible says not just in letter, but in spirit. Why? Because the Spirit gives life. Can I tell you what it means to worship God in spirit and truth? It means you're worshiping God because you're alive and free. Hallelujah. You have no business worshiping God just being free or just being alive. I don't want to be alive and bound. I don't want to be free and dead, but I want to worship Him alive and free. Are you here to worship God this week? I want to have church, and this is the icebreaker service. And I know it's customary to just get right up front and try to get some lost people saved. And I plan to do that this week. But I'd love for us to just go ahead and set the tone for the atmosphere and let that individual that's stubborn, that feels like they're going to wait it out till Friday night to get saved, let them know you ain't taking up my time. You ain't keeping me from worshiping God. You ain't keeping me from a blessing. No, I'd like for us to just go ahead and set the tone and let God know, hey, we're here on business. And if somebody else wants to sit on their pew, if somebody else wants to be quiet, somebody else wants to look cute, somebody else wants to pretend like they've got all they need and they don't need anymore, then watch out, neighbor, because I still am in need of something from the Holy Ghost. I'm still in need of something that only God is able to give me. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. Are you made up your mind? Yet I'm going to worship God. Doesn't matter who's around me. I'm here to give God the glory that He's worthy of. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us sing. We're just getting acquainted this week. Man, I'm so excited to be here. I can't hardly stand myself right now. Looking forward to what God's going to do. I hope you're excited to be here. And not because I'm preaching, not because your favorite preacher's here, not because whoever your favorite singer's here. Not that at all. It's because Jesus is here. That's who we're going to celebrate tonight. We're going to make Him welcome. I've made up my mind. That's what I want to do, Brother Tom. I want to make Christ feel welcome in this place. Let's let the Lord have His way. Help us sing. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. It's our first time here. But I tell you, it feels like we've been coming here a long time because I like what I feel here. I like seeing young people on their feet worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. I know God is doing something across the United States. We've been all over. We've been in Virginia and Pennsylvania and Maryland and different areas having youth camps. God is moving, folks. Praise the Lord. And I want the glory of the Lord to rest right here every night. Hallelujah.
I see the ark coming up the road. I see the ark coming up the road. Hey, the Spirit of the Lord is finally coming home. I see the ark coming up the road. Yes, I see the ark coming up the road. I see the ark coming up the road. Hey, the Spirit of the Lord is finally coming home. I see the ark coming up the road. King David built a brand new ark. Oh, to bring the ark of God back home. Well, it wasn't very long before he found out that was wrong. He could not move the the Lord, it's finally coming home. I see the ark coming up the road. Oh, yes, I see the ark. It's coming up the road.
Oh,
I see the ark coming up the road. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is finally coming home. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is finally coming home. The Spirit of the Lord is finally coming home. I see the ark coming up the road.
Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God.
If you could physically see him tonight, how would you act? I know that we can feel him, and man, it feels good. But I believe the Bible says in the last days that the young men shall see visions. The old men shall dream dreams. I believe that we can see him coming through. See the effects of God on our neighbors and our friends, our loved ones. Amen. It's so good to feel God's presence. Mark chapter 2 tonight. I want to go to Mark chapter 2 for just a few moments. I know that I don't have a reputation here. And boy, that feels good to just come in and start fresh. And for those of you that have an opinion of me, it's fictitious for the most part anyway. It's what you feel like you know me just because you've seen me. And I feel like I know some of you, but I ain't figured you out either. But we're just going to let God have his way and let God move. But I want to do my best this week to hold to this. I'm not coming to preach long sermons. You know, a long time ago, and some of you will still know this, this name, he's been famous everywhere in a lot of different places. But they used to tell Brother Joey Height. How many has ever heard of Brother Joey Height? Good. A few of you know who I'm talking about. They used to tell him he just had altar calls. He didn't preach sermons. That'd be all right with me this week. I'd love to see God just send us a response in these altars that moves and maneuvers every soul into a position that you can get the maximum blessing that God has intended for your life this week. I don't want to just graze the top. I want everything that God has for me. And I want you to understand this here tonight. I appreciate every young person that's coming. I appreciate every adult that's taken a week's vacation. I appreciate every worker that's been preparing all year long for this youth camp. But I want to tell you this, and most of you adults know this, it's not about you. It's really not. And I understand that we're here for these kids and for everybody to get more of God. And though I've said that, I believe that God can touch and minister to you, and you can leave here better too. But I want to tell the kids, those of you that have come as a camper, as a youth this year, as a young adult, I'm glad you're here, and we welcome you, and we have this youth camp because of you, but it's not about you. It's not about you this week. It's really not about you in your whole life. It's about God. You know, it's been way back in the 1500s. I know you're standing, but you're young people, and you can endure it. And way back in the 1500s, how many remember that? Not even any of the old people in the back raised their hands. I didn't see anybody. There was a guy named Nicholas Copernicus. And not only had a funny name, he had some funny ideas. And he told everybody in the 1500s, at that time, they thought the earth was the center of the solar system. Everybody thought that everything surrounded and just evolved around the earth. But as he began to study and to look and to go through science and all that he did, he began to knock on everybody's door and tap on their shoulder and say, look, we're not the center of the solar system or the universe. He said, behold the sun. The sun is the center. And nobody liked that. Nobody liked for him to have a different idea, a different thought than anybody else. And most of all, nobody liked that it wasn't something that just surrounded us. We are the earth. We are the bride. We are the child. We are the universe's blessing. We are everything. No, that's not the case. The sun is the center. And I feel like Christ came 2,000 years ago, and God has been knocking on the hearts of every individual ever since. And he's been pointing us in the direction of the sun. His sun. And I'd like to tell us tonight, it's not about us, so we're so glad you're here. It's about Jesus Christ. And so having said that tonight, I want to preach from Mark chapter 2, a very familiar story. But I'm not going to preach the whole story tonight. I really feel like I'll come back here maybe tomorrow night and finish up. Maybe I'm just going to stay here as long as God will help me and allow me.
I'd like to start with the first two verses of Mark chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. If you're there tonight and you've got your Bible, say amen. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them." How long has it been since you went to your prospective church and you couldn't get in? Pastors, how long has it been since you went into your church and your regulars couldn't find their regular spot on their pew? Young people, how long has it been since you had to move your Sunday school class because you outgrew it? There was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. What were they doing? What was the main attraction? What was drawing everybody? The Bible says, "And he preached the word unto them." The word of God was the main attraction. Here's what I want to ask us. Is all these people are there. And the reason that they are there is because the latter part of verse 1 says, "And it was noised that he was in the house." Could it be that God still comes to our church, but we make no noise about him being there? Could it be that God is just as real in your life as he was in your mom and dad's and your grandparents' life, but you've made no mention of him in an audible way, that individuals around you know that there's something different living on the inside of you? If God would help me preach for just a little while tonight, I want to preach on let's make a noise. And while you're at it, let's make a difference. I want you to understand, I'm giving every young person in this room, I'm giving you the greatest opportunity, because most time we come to church, everybody's told to be quiet. Look at your neighbor and understand, we're about to get rowdy. Understand, we are about to let our hair down. I know it's quiet right now, and some of you are still trying to figure me out, but I've already felt the presence of the Lord in this room. And here's what I know, is that his spirit is not a revolving door. He doesn't just come in and then go out. No, can I tell you that he inhabits the praises of his people? And I've been praising him since I came through the door. So I happen to believe that he's still in this place. He's dwelling in this house. I feel like making some noise about him being here tonight. Would you help me for just a few moments? Let's ask him to come in one more time. Let's let him know that he's welcome to work and move through us. Let's ask him to work in this house. Ask God to anoint my mind and my mouth and your ears. And let's believe God to send us revival. God, I love you. I thank you tonight for what I feel in my soul. God, I've got no ability to impress anyone. Lord, I'm here on the behalf of you. I'm asking, Lord, that as your messenger, that you would anoint my lips. God, that you'd give me clarity of mind, and you would coordinate my lips with the burden that you put in my heart. Lord, I'm here to make you famous. God, I'm here to let somebody that didn't know it know that you are close to them that are of a contrite spirit. God, I pray right now that you'd move in this place, that you'd touch every heart, that you'd anoint every life, that you would speak to every soul, that every individual would know that you are near and that you're capable of moving on their behalf. We ask it and we believe it in the name of he that's higher and he that's holy, he that's got a name that's greater than any other name. In the name of Jesus, move and anoint this vessel. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise of it all. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. May God richly bless you tonight. I just want to take a moment. I want us to just gauge this. Has anybody noticed how quiet church is lately? I know I'm an evangelist and I travel around and I get to see a lot of different churches, and some of you may say, well, this don't sound quiet tonight. Matter of fact, I wish the sound man would turn it down. I'm going to get to your pew in a minute. You just sit still and leave the sound man alone, all right? Here's what I want to tell you, is there's a lot of church people and a lot of churches that feel like it's right to just be sober, to be quiet, to have structure and order. I believe that everything ought to be done in decency and in order. But can I tell you, if you're glorifying God, the devil's not the author of it.
I just want to ask some of us, is it something that maybe it's just me? I don't believe so. I believe that everybody else here would understand and agree that it seems that the church has gotten awful quiet, seeing that you and I have the greatest reason to celebrate on the face of this earth. There's nobody not in a concert, nobody that's won the lottery, nobody that's just got a scholarship. There is nobody that's got greater reason to raise their hands and verbally get excited than those individuals that have been given eternal life. Somebody say amen. Can I tell you, in looking at this, if you could contrast this with me, with something as simple and as rhetorical as birthday parties. I know that little kids get excited, and everybody from about the age of 0 until about 14, 15, 16, maybe even 18, we celebrate your birth, we celebrate your life, we'll make noise. I was just 32 this last year and in Dallas, and I made the mistake of going with the Brother Tom Goodwin family to Babe's Chicken House on my birthday. You've been to Babe's, raise your hand. Let me tell you what they do. They put a chicken on your head. You get up in a chair and you flap your wings while everybody in the restaurant sings, "Happy birthday to you." It was loud. It was noisy, and I didn't care. I was happy to be alive, and somebody was buying this preacher fried chicken. So it didn't matter to me. But if you contrast that with church, if you and I were to get that loud, that noise, and excited in church over anything, it seems like it's looked down on, it's frowned at. If you and I were to just look at a concert here tonight, I know that maybe not everybody agrees with them, and I'm not a huge fan, but if we had the Crab family here tonight, and if Jason Crabb was here and he was about to sing a song, some of you young ladies' hearts would be pitter-pattering and you'd be screaming, no matter the fact that he's married with children. And some of you men that he's your hero, you'd be putting your hands together. Some of you, you've got different groups, whether they be a little more contemporary, whatever it is. We get loud at concerts. We get loud in singings. We get loud when we enjoy somebody. We get loud, can I say this, in concession. I've lost my voice standing across from a counter from somebody trying to take my order at a youth camp, and I'm trying to yell at them and let them know I want nachos and cheese and I want a pop. And why? Because it's noisy. Nobody minds being loud at concession. Can I tell you, when you and I play volleyball and basketball this weekend, I intend to play. I'm still young enough. I like to get out there. And if you don't like to play, don't just stand there on my team. I'll run over there next to you and bump you out of your spot, and I'll hit the ball for you because I still like to win. Yes. Why? Because I'm a winner. That's what I am. I like to win. I wish some of you'd be the same way in church. I wish some of you aggressive individuals that's going to be that way out on the ball field this week, we go ahead and get aggressive in church and let everybody know I'm here with an agenda. I came here with some certain things that I'm looking for God to do in my life, and I'm not going to sit self-satisfied or take a chance that you're going to mess it up for me. I'm going to get in where the glorious spot of the glory is, and I'm going to allow His presence to fill my soul. Can I tell you, with all of these things, games, fellowship, they're loud. We enjoy them. Nobody complains. But you go to church and this hush hush quiet church mouse society is telling everybody, turn it down, turn it down, turn it down, turn it down. Can I tell you, we go out and this is not the only place that I see big speakers that I could crawl inside of. They're so big, and everybody wants to have $20,000 sound systems just so they can look at somebody and say, turn it down. Turn it down. They listen to their TV so loud, you walk into their living room, you can't have a decent conversation with them because they're watching their favorite thing on their favorite network, but they don't want you to get loud in church. Can I tell you why? I want to just simply declare our church world has got stagnant. We've got satisfied. We don't like anything making us uncomfortable. We don't like anybody moving us out of our familiar spot. We don't like anybody body, making us feel like we're not doing enough. Can I tell you, from the very beginning of the church age, it was not so that we were quiet, but it has been our custom from the very beginning that when God came in, we began to announce his entrance in a loud manner. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, some of us already know that he's here and we're still quiet. Some of us already know that he's touchable and we're still quiet. Let me read to you from 1 Samuel. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 6, and when the Philistines heard the noise of a shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. Just the symbol of God was enough to strike fear in the eyes and the ears of the enemy, because you and I would get rowdy about the fact that all of a sudden what seemed to be impossible, now we've got the advantage. Why? Because God showed up. God made a way when there seemed to be no way. Can I tell some of you, I've been in a place surrounded by my enemies, sitting at a table that God has provided for me. You think that I'm going to be quiet about that? No, I'm going to announce he is here. He's in this house. God help us that the world would never hear that Jesus is alive and he's present in our churches. God help us to take notice that God is among us.
Psalms 66, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Nobody's excluded, not the heathen. That's why I don't mind. I'm going to a foreign country here in about 2 weeks. Never been there, but I've been to Africa 5 times. They don't worship like we do. They got a different rhythm than we got. They dance. We used to dance till the charismatics took it from us. Under the influence of the Spirit. Here's what I find. Not just make a joyful noise, but Psalms 98 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth make a loud noise. I'm going to say that again for some of you fuddy-duds that are hating on me right now. A loud noise. Some of you that's ready and satisfied, wish we'd throw the sound system back out of the church. Make a loud noise. Hallelujah. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing his praise. What are you trying to do? I'd like to serve notice on the devil and let him know that when God comes in and I recognize it, I have a rowdy praise. I have a loud noise on the inside of me that's about to come out. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I am highly impressed with him. Is anybody else impressed with God? Anybody else still believe that his reputation's good? What are you impressed with? I'm impressed with his power. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Not some power, not most power, but all power. All power trumps every other power. All power has greater ability than any other power. I'm not just impressed with his power, but I'm impressed with his power in me. Deuteronomy 32 says that one of us can put 1,000 to flight, but if two of us get together, yeah, hallelujah, we're not just putting 2,000, but the Bible says it's 10. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God's power gets in you and me, and when we bind together, I said when we bind together, there is a power, there is an anointing. I'm impressed with him because of his blessings on me. His blessings in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. If I'm too loud, I'm sorry. I can't contain it. It's more than I can handle. Are you saved? I said, are you saved? How are you handling it? How are you staying so quiet? How are you suppressing it? How do you keep from shouting? How do you keep from running? How do you keep from jumping up and declaring His goodness? It's more than I can hold. I said, it's more than I can handle. His blessings overwhelm me. They're new every morning. Thank God for His blessing in my life. As a matter of fact, when God sends His promises, like the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost comes, heaven makes a sound. You know it as well as I do, but let me read it just for the sake of the word. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts 2 and 1, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, out of nowhere, been waiting on Him. Yeah. Been looking for Him, anticipating Him, not snoozing in the corner, but on the edge of my seat. Not looking at my neighbor wondering why they wore such loud perfume, but I'm just looking for the aroma of God's presence. I'm waiting for Him to show up. I'm going to get to you in a moment. Here's what I want to tell you. You and I look at this, and here's what I want to tell you. A sound came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. I don't know about you. I'm not satisfied with the sprinkling drops of God's grace that we've been feeling, with a little bit of revival that breaks out here and there and a little storm. I'm looking for the abundance of His rain again. I'm looking for the sound that fills the whole house. Can I tell you what that means? That means that no nook, no corner, no cranny, no individual is excluded, but everybody is feeling what the other person next to them is feeling. And there is a resonance. There is a confirmation. It's not just me. This ain't just wildfire. I can't just work this up, but it's the reality of God putting joy in my heart in the middle of my trial. This smile doesn't come natural. These tears are not tears of sadness, but they are tears of joy as I look around and I recognize, hey, something is moving in the atmosphere. A tide is turning in my direction. There's glory that's all around me. His presence is filling me. There is a sound. There is a noise. The Bible says that heaven rejoices with the resounding salvation of one individual. How much more is it when that same individual that's been saved and praised is somebody that comes through a trial and is victorious, that stands on the other side of a valley that the devil intended to kill him in, but they're raising their hands, giving God glory, saying, I've come through it by the grace of Almighty God, and His presence is still with me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. He's still with you. I'm just about done. This hush-hush church mouse society that we have, that is my generation, that only wants to get loud with music. I've been in churches here as of late that they give the altar call after prayer requests. And God forbid they don't play any music because nobody's uttering a word. I've given 5 minutes of prayer request. We take 3 minutes of uncomfortable silence while nobody prays, while everybody's afraid somebody might hear what they're whispering. Let me tell you where this comes from. This comes from that self-righteous crowd who's never done anything wrong. Therefore, they've never had any reason to celebrate God's grace. If you don't praise God, it must be because you didn't need Him. If you never give Him glory, it must be because you got where you are all by yourself. Just about done. We find this generation, we find this group that I'm talking about, this religious crowd, we find them in Luke chapter 15. I know that this chapter is synonymous with a lot of messages that we've preached in the past. Everybody here no doubt has heard about the prodigal son. But I just want to take just a moment. I want to look at the other side of this. The boy is now home. He's made a mess out of his life. He understands his mistakes. He still stinks. He's still sorry. He's done a lot of things wrong, but he's back home and he's got his right mind back. Here's what I find is that in verse 25 of Luke chapter 15, I find this generation that doesn't want it loud. Now his elder son, which was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. We have a blowout service and we'll have a committee after church. Wants to know if it's legit. Sister so-and-so has missed two Sundays. Did you see how she shouted? I don't believe she's real. You know, I don't know if such and such has even started paying his tithe and there he is acting like he's full of the Holy Ghost. What does this mean? This brother heard a strange noise. Would to God this week that he would come in such a way and you and I would noise it so loud that it would be so strange to those that's not been around it in a while that they would have to sit up and take notice that this is not the ordinary praise and worship. It's a new sound. This young man is a traditional religious person. This new sound is something that the traditional people can't understand. The religious can't comprehend. They don't understand why you would scream that way. They don't understand why you would shout that way. They don't understand why you would rejoice that way. It is a new sound in an old place. How many be honest and say, I know that we've had wonderful youth camps. I've never been here. You may have shouted every service. You may have run every aisle. Every individual may have been slain in the spirit. I don't know. But I'm going to take for granted that you're like most of the rest of the church world and you're still in need of more of God's grace. You're still needing a revival. You and I are still facing the same dearth and we wish that we could take just the atmosphere that we feel in this room and put it back in our church at home. How many say amen to that? This is the first night of camp. We ain't even got started yet. And boy, we wish church at home felt this good, felt this lively, and was this free. Can I tell you what the problem is? Is I find that this boy has been living in a place where there is no celebration. He is religious, but he is dead. He's somebody that understands structure. He understands making sure you spend the money right. He knows how to dress accordingly. He's got the outward commitment right. Can't nobody mock him. Can't nobody dock his standard. Can't nobody say he ain't been faithful. But can't nobody say they've heard him pray. Can't nobody say they've seen him shout. Can't nobody say that they've ever seen him in the presence of the Lord. He doesn't understand it. He's upset. He's mad. He's angry. But on the inside of the house, can I tell some of you, I feel like I'm in the kind of atmosphere that I'm not outside listening, wondering what's going on. But I feel like some of us are on the inside. Some of us got a father that is smiling from ear to ear and he can't keep it quiet because his son that was lost is found. This young man, some of us can relate with. He's still got mud between his toes. He's still got corn husk in his hair. He still smells a little bit like the hog. But he's smiling from ear to ear because of mercy, because God's grace is real, because he still reaches to the lowest valley and he picks up from the deepest depths. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, I'd shout because of that? Because I can relate. I needed mercy. I needed mercy. Somebody shout mercy with me. Mercy. That's the kind of, say it again, mercy. Hey, that's the kind of thing that makes God stand up and take attention. Thank God the glory and the mercy and the grace of God is still a reality. It's enough to shout about. It has repositioned my life to where I am now so that I can give him glory, honor, and praise. it's enough to get a little rowdy about. It's enough to get loud about to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What if our generation just never heard? What if some of our loved ones just never heard? You that have been saved and you've come back and found God's grace, I'm closing. Those of you that have something to shout about, those of you that could jump out of your pew right now, doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, and declare, God's been too good for me not to raise my hands and love Him. You are now God's agent for making a difference in lives around you for the good. If you are an usher on the offering-taking board, your presence ought to change the atmosphere of everybody that has a position. Why? Because Jesus being in your life, wherever God is, it envelops people and it makes a change. You can't stay the same. You can't be a loser with Jesus in your heart. You can't be somebody that is looking to fall into another prey of temptation when Jesus is in your heart. Why? Because you know that greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. His heads are bowed around this room, and you and I began to get ready to pray in this house. Does anybody here understand that your presence ought to provoke a change? You and I are not here to make a name for ourselves. I am no great preacher, but I stand amongst many great preachers here tonight. There's many men that are here that have preached these meetings before me, and they've done an outstanding job. I've not been brought here this week because they didn't do a good job. I've been brought here this week because it's my turn to make Him famous. It's not about Noah Hatfield this week. I've not come to impress you with any words. But if I could do anything, I'd like to let you know Jesus is in this house. You see, if you really believe that tonight, if you really believed without any shadow of a doubt, some of you would not stay in your seat another moment if you really believe God is really here. I'm going to run to that altar and I'm going to get in His presence. I've been brought to this place for such a time as this. And I'm here to let Him know that if nobody else recognizes, I'm here to give Him praise. I'm here to offer Him my life. If you're lost here tonight, you can find that same Jesus to be someone that is extending grace in your direction tonight. Doesn't matter who you are. I like this when God gives the altar call and you just come on your own accord. This isn't about me. It's not about your neighbor. But if you will come and begin to lift up the name of Jesus, can I guarantee you that He will draw nigh unto every individual in this house? He's here for that reason. He's here for that purpose. He's here to do that for you. Would you do it tonight? Come on, let's gather around. Let's begin praying. Let's begin believing God. Let's ask God to have His way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's do it tonight. Let's get in His presence. Let's find Him to be a reality. Come on, let's take this first night and let's set the tone. Let's set the atmosphere. Let's let God know that we love Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
He's in the house. Death has to flee. And now there's light where darkness used to be. And now there is hope.
Come on, church. Come on, come on.
And there's
on,
no more doubt.
Some of you can still remember where He brought you from. He's worthy tonight. He's in this place.
He's in
there's
the
nothing
house.
Too hard for Him.
Now death has to flee. Oh,